The Old Testament lesson for the last Sunday of the church year is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In many colored robes, the king's daughter is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her.
With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king.
The epistle is written in St. Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, the 5th chapter. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Alleluia,
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus said, "And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen." Blessings to each and every one of you today, dear ones, on this last Sunday of the church year, and of course, how fitting and appropriate it is for us to have the parable of the 10 virgins as our lesson today. Because not only do we see in it that the Lord will finally appear and make his glorious entrance, not only will it be revealed who is truly foolish and wise, and whether those called to be God's people among us were well prepared for this great event, but by the end of our text, dear ones, we see what our Lord is preparing to bring us into at the culmination of this present age. And in fact, what he's been preparing to bring about in his divine wisdom since the time when the world began. Together, the end of our Lord's parable and all that will take place at the end of the age, they make known and illuminate for us what's been unfolding and set in motion by God's grace from the beginning. Our Lord's parable begins, of course, with great excitement and anticipation. The day of the marriage feast will soon be at hand, and the necessary preparations must be made so that everything will be ready for the celebration to commence at once when the time comes. The noble bridegroom removes himself to make preparations because, as you know, preparing for a wedding feast, there's a lot of work to be done. And in the ancient Near East, the bridegroom, in fact, was the one who was responsible for this. I know some of you might like to revive that custom in our day and age. But again, in the ancient Near East, it was the bridegroom who would do all this, preparing the best food that he can and drink, preparing a new place for his bride, preparing to make his grand entrance with his entourage, and to retrieve his beloved and all those called to the wedding feast. Again, it was the bridegroom who would do all of this. And if some of you balk at the idea of being at a wedding reception for any more than an hour and a half on a good day, well, you should know that in the ancient Near East, their feasting and celebrations could last for a whole week. A week! Just think of that. You can imagine just how much effort, how much planning, how much prep went into something like this. It was Herculean what these men did. And the bridegroom had to be very prudent. This was not a time for messing around, for dilly-dallying. No, far from that. He had to be diligent. He had to take the appropriate action at the appropriate time given the circumstances as he made his preparations. It's what it is to be prudent, so that everything would be ready. And of course, it wasn't only he who had to be prudent with his time, but also, as you see in the parable, those invited too to join the marriage feast. They had to be prudent as well, lest they bring terrible shame upon themselves and be horribly, intolerably disrespectful to the bridegroom, who had done so much work for them to enjoy. How could they do that? They could not just carelessly, aimlessly go about their business during this time of earnest preparation. You can't just get ready for a marriage feast like that last minute and expect it to go well. Can't do it. They had to be mindful of what was soon to come and act accordingly. They needed to embody the wisdom of the Lord. Because when the Lord went about his work of creating the world in the beginning, he certainly was not careless and aimless in what he did. He manifested his wisdom in the works of creation and in the preparations that he set out to make. He not only separated the light from the darkness and fashioned each and every one of the stars in the cosmos, but he stretched out the heavens like a beautiful canopy adorned with festive lights. He not only filled the world that he made with a multitude of creatures and lush vegetation, but he planted a garden with an abundance of food for feasting. He established Eden as a sanctuary, a holy venue for what was soon to come. Dear ones, the Lord our God was not only creating the heavens and the earth and everything in them, but in his wisdom and prudence, he was making everything ready for the marriage feast of Adam and Eve. By the end of the first week of creation, we see what the Lord set out to prepare from the very beginning. You can see his wisdom in the fruits of his labor, and it was a labor of love that he devoted himself to. And so too, the Lord Jesus, when he began the work of his earthly ministry, he first manifested his glory where? But at a wedding in Cana, turning water into wine. The incarnate Lord of heaven and earth set about his work of making all things new, of bringing about a new creation. Only this time he himself is the new Adam, and the Holy Church is his beloved bride. Christ has labored at length for our sake, beloved. He has fulfilled the whole law for us. He has given himself up for us, that he might sanctify us. He's gone so far as to give his own body and blood on the cross for our redemption and to prepare his body and blood to be our nuptial food and drink, a foretaste here and now of the feast to come, which is more exquisite and fine than anything else in all the world. The Lord has gone to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, an eternal dwelling for his bride to live forever in holy union with him. All these things, our bridegroom has been preparing for us. All these things he's devoted himself to in his wisdom, in a labor of love, to celebrate the marriage feast with us. So, to what have you been devoting yourself to in anticipation of this marriage feast? Have you been active and wise, mindful in your preparations for when he makes his grand entrance? Because the fate of the foolish virgins will fall on everyone who's been careless and aimless in these things during this time. Our text tells us that it wasn't just that there was no oil found among the foolish virgins, though that is true, but the text says this, that they took no oil with them. The verb is active. They actively, willfully chose not to prepare as they should. Despite all that the bridegroom had done for them, despite all the preparations he had made, and the great effort and wisdom and love he showed in going about his work, the foolish virgins just couldn't be bothered to prepare as they so obviously should, to be ready when the time came. What is it to them whether the bridegroom arrives at midnight? Quite frankly, it shouldn't matter what time he gets there. Day or night, they should be ready. You should be ready. Nobody in their right mind would want to miss this, and he expected them to be faithfully prepared. How could they not? How could they not? And on the surface, the foolish virgins may well have looked like they were doing exactly what they should have been. They might not have had much reason at all to be concerned for them from the outside. And on the inside, they may well have let themselves think they really would be doing fine just keeping up appearances, just going through the motions, appearing to check all the right boxes. And surely no one would know any different in the end, would they? Well, in the end, the empty vessel, which obviously should have been filled with oil, reveals the true emptiness of their preparations. It also reveals their level of respect for the bridegroom, because they decided to turn away from what they needed and the way he expected to meet them when he arrived. Their lamps were quenched, and they were left in shame and darkness outside. So it will be for people who just go through the motions of coming to church, who may appear to be like any other Christian from the outside, but on the inside, in the vessel of their hearts, they are empty, devoid of the Holy Spirit and his gifts received by faith. These people don't take preaching and God's word to heart. Truth be told, they really aren't concerned with taking hold of the forgiveness, life, and salvation available to them through the means of grace. And they might be too ashamed to admit this, and they'd definitely be very offended if anyone ever dared to suggest it out loud, but sometimes the truth hurts. And more than anything else, they'd rather be at a sporting event on Sunday mornings or enjoying vacation somewhere. That's really where they'd rather be. That's really where their priorities are. And those are the kinds of things that make them light up more than anything else, even more than the kindness and mercy of the Lord. Darkness awaits them. But for all of you who have been faithfully preparing, waiting for our bridegroom's appearing, for all of you whose hearts have been filled with the Spirit, having been lavished with all the riches of his grace, be sure of this, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has conceived all that the Lord has prepared for those who love him, what he's prepared for you. On account of faith, you will be radiant and luminous, like the five wise virgins on that great day, as Christ receives you and the whole company of the saints into the marriage feast, into pure bliss with him in his kingdom, which has no end. So prepare your hearts and make ready while there's still time. And be watchful for his appearing, because this is what's coming for us. And at the end of the age, it will make known what's been unfolding from the beginning, and all that our Lord has been preparing in his wisdom in a labor of love. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.